the congregation, let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 33. Moses here is giving his final farewell to the church of the Old Testament, Israel, and he's giving them his blessing, no doubt with much reflection over that journey he has taken with them through the wilderness, and now he must leave them. And these are the blessings he gives to each of the tribes. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. He said, "The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Everyone shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. And he was king in Jeshurun, when the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. And this is the blessing of Judah. And he said, Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people. Let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi, he said, Let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, with whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah, who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, and they that they rise not again. And of Benjamin he said, The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelleth in the bush, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstlings of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth, and they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, Rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar, in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, Blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of his head. And he proved the first part, and he provided the first part for himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessing of the Lord, possessed thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, Let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help and in the excellency in the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. So far we read God's holy, inspired, infallible word. This morning I want to, dear congregation, just focus on a few words in the context here of the end of this chapter and verse 27. These words, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Moses here at the end of his life is setting before the children of Israel, the church of the Old Testament, this glorious promise and comfort. Today, in a world in which our words sometimes seem to mean very little, such as if you have a plan, you can keep it. However, when we look at God's word, we know we have a certainty and a sureness about this word that never fails, is to be understood as plainly as it is written to us. I'm reminded of a little boy some years ago, not many years ago, there's an earthquake in the Middle East, and his father had said to him when he went off to school, I'll be there this afternoon to pick you up. While they were at school, an earthquake took place and the school building collapsed and covered many of the children and trapped them inside. And his father had come rushing to the place of this great accident, and he began to dig along with many other parents. He dug for hours, going on a whole day, 24 hours, finally turning into 30 hours. People began to leave the scene, having no hope and expectation. But this man kept digging. He had told his son he would come to get him. 34, 36 hours, and finally he was working alone. And he burst through this little hole in which he found these cries of the children beneath. And his son was there. And he said, I knew, Daddy, you would come. And his dad reached down to pull him out. And the son said, No, let the other children come. They are full of fear. But I knew you would come. I wasn't afraid. And all the other children came out. And last, his father helped him out this earthly tomb as well. And what a wonderful picture, small in comparison to what Moses is setting before us here this morning. And I want to consider this in the theme of his arms are under me. And as we reflect upon the last year that is nearly over, the last Sabbath we are coming together to worship, and as we look toward the new year, God willing, to come, we have reason to rest upon these very arms that are set before us in this passage. I'm going to look at three thoughts as we consider his arms under us. First of all, the security that we find in these words. Second, the sufficiency. And lastly, the sweetness. The security, the sufficiency, and the sweetness. Moses is here at the end of his life. He's going to soon be taken up to the mountain to be buried by the Lord, taken from this world. And yet before he goes, he is understanding that God is going to bless his people. And as Moses speaks these words, no doubt he reflects upon all that has transpired. And the children here this morning can also tell me many of the things of what the Lord had done for the children of Israel over the past 40 some years in the wilderness. And God had led them in this way to humble them, to get the people to trust alone in Him. We read the law this morning that was given at the beginning of this journey in which the Lord said, I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. And this was the message He wanted this people to know and to believe. Why was this boy in this earthly tomb comforted? Because of an earthly father who had told him, I'm coming to get you at the end of school. But here is a heavenly Father who has promised to His church and His people, all those who trust in Him, I'm coming to get you, and I don't leave you here comfortless. I will come again and take you to Myself, and I am preparing mansions of glory for you. And it's as if here Moses, at the end of his journey with the children of Israel, is reflecting on all the things that God had done in His might and His power. All the way from the rod that He threw on the ground and became a serpent to swallow Pharaoh's serpents to the pillar of cloud that blocked the sun from its beating heat as they traveled in the wilderness, and the pillar of fire that lit their way like a city light throughout the evening, and the food and the manna and the water and so many other things. How their clothes did not wax old. Now, children, you may have a pet name that maybe your father or your mother calls you. It's different, perhaps, than the name they've even given to you at birth. And that's the name, really, which is used here by Moses for the children of Israel. And that name here is Jeshurun. And this name is filled with meaning. It's a poetical name for the people of Israel. It's filled with emotion and affection. It means, my dear, upright people. And as Moses now is giving this last message to the children of Israel, he is saying the God of Jeshurun. He has spoken this before in Deuteronomy 32. He is telling them, when he's speaking of the God of Jeshurun, that they would not depart from Him when they come into this land. He says, He found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him, that's Israel. He led Israel about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings. So the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. And then Moses says, now be careful. He says, Jeshurun, wax fat and kicked. Thou art waxed fat and grown thick and covered with fatness. He forsook God which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of His salvation. And yet in spite of this warning, when Israel did eventually depart from God and they were brought into exile, even the prophets in the Old Testament reminded Israel, you are Jeshurun. Isaiah says to them in chapter 44, yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. Maybe as you look back over the year that is behind you, or the history even of this church, difficulty and trial and tribulation. And yet it is God's church. It's Jeshurun. My dear, upright people. And Moses wants to point out to the children of Israel the security that was found in their God and nowhere else. He says, there is none to whom this God, your God, is an equal. He rides on the heavens. His excellency is seen in the sky.
And this God, Israel, is to be your refuge, your place of security, your place of safety, because He and He alone can and will protect you and surround you with His love and His care. And the picture here is those enemies, those predators in the desert would seek to destroy the animals who were vulnerable. And the idea here is Israel would well understand, having observed this for 40 years, God was the one who protected them. He is your refuge. And underneath, Moses says, are His everlasting arms. Not a place, not a cave to which you can go and hide away, but a person to whom you flee, in whom you trust. And for the New Testament, the church today, this same God is your God. If we have come by faith and repentance to know God in Jesus Christ, then under you are the everlasting arms. And He ought to be the place to whom we flee in all our need, in all our cares, when the predators would seek to prey upon us, when sin would seek to pursue and overcome us, then we ought to remember what Moses says. Underneath are the everlasting arms. No matter how numb you may feel from the pain and the difficulty of things past, and even in this year, no matter what faces you in the year to come, it is the God of Jeshurun who is your refuge and your place of safety. He rides in the heavens, and underneath are His everlasting arms. Children, what do you do if you're afraid? Sometimes in most children's lives, there's this period of time when they're 8, 10 years old, maybe. They're afraid of the dark and they're scared, perhaps, to go to bed alone. At least our children were, and they would end up standing by your bedside at about 12 o'clock, seeing if you're awake. They felt safe, secure by mom, dad. And what Moses is saying here to the children of Israel, what he's saying to us this morning, with all your need, with all your cares, with all your concerns, there is a place where you can go. The God of Jeshurun. And even when Israel was in exile, what did God say to them? He said, "Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, and even to your old age, I am He. And even the hoar, the gray hairs, will I carry you. I have made you, and I will bear you. I will carry you, and I will deliver you." There are times in spiritual life as well that we may feel as if we have been forsaken of God. We don't sense that nearness. We may have felt at some point in our life, some points when we have really been taught of the Lord and His Spirit has led us into the mysteries of faith, things may be dry and barren in our lives. And yet this God, even when we feel forsaken, and even when His hand would come against us if we go down a path of sin, He has said, "Underneath are my everlasting arms." There is this passage in Jeremiah that every time I think of it and read of it is so filled with this kind of emotion and intensity that we find in our text. God puts in human language something we would hardly grasp and understand. "Is Ephraim my dear son?
Is he a pleasant child? You know, Ephraim had departed from the Lord, and so the Lord sent him into exile. And so he says, "For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I will surely have mercy on him, saith the Lord." And so the Lord is saying to us in our text here, when we come to him in all of our need and all of our cares, when his arms are under us, there is a security to be found that this world, though it promises many things, having enough in your bank account, having your health plan fully capped to the top, as if somehow that would give us security and safety. And Moses is saying to the children of Israel who have witnessed the Lord's hand over and underneath them this whole journey, he says, this God is your refuge. Is he your refuge, dear friend, this morning? You have fled to him by faith. Then I can say to you without a doubt, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For underneath, God is saying to you, are my everlasting arms. You can never fall through them. You can never perish outside of them, for you are engraven on the palms of these hands. I remember in Pilgrim's Progress, perhaps you do too if you've read it, when he approaches Christian with Hopeful, this last crossing of the River Jordan typifying death. So him and his companion are traveling across this water, and Christian is fearful. He's going to drown, yet even in these last moments, he's going to drown under the billows and waves. And Hopeful, he says to Christian, "Be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom and it's good." What Moses is saying to the children of Israel is, I've felt the bottom and it's good. Even though Moses wasn't able to go into the land because of his own sin at the rock, he could still say by faith, I feel the bottom, it's good. And perhaps you remember just before Hopeful and Christian came to this river Jordan, as they stood before that river and were anticipating to go across that river into the promised land, into the celestial city, they asked the question, if the water was all the same deepness. And the reply of the shepherds were, you shall find it as deeper or shallower as you believe in the king of the place. The same is true today. The bottom's still good, but the deeper or the shallower depends often on our trust, in our confidence, in our resting upon the truth of this word. Underneath are the everlasting arms. We don't know what will happen in this coming year. We know what has happened, and may you have found this promise to be true, that underneath are the everlasting arms. But may you with anticipation then look toward this new year, in spite of all that the world and the news media sets before us of cares and concerns and difficulties, the church, the believer, has this assurance underneath are the everlasting arms. And secondly, that's really the sufficiency. That's all we need. Moses says, the everlasting God, the eternal God, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He uses here this attribute of our God that is eternal, has no beginning, shall have no end. There is no time and place where these arms are not seen, are not there. If you're in a house that has a good foundation and the winds begin to blow, you feel safe and secure. But if you're in a house that's perhaps built very shoddily and it's hardly held together and it's dilapidated over the years and the winds begin to blow severely and it's not on a good foundation, you leave the house and you run to another place where you find safety. And so the picture is here. Is the house wherein you live, your spiritual existence, resting on these arms? And are these arms the everlasting arms of our God? Is the one in whom you trust and rest the everlasting God? If so, it means He is able to carry whatever load, whatever care, whatever concern you have, when you lay it upon Him, He carries it. When you're crushed beneath some oppressing circumstance and difficulty and perhaps even temptation, these everlasting arms of God, the eternal God and Father, is able and willing to uphold each one of His Jeshurun and His people. How can He do this? Why does He do this? Well, we saw earlier in the first point that this is Jeshurun, the beloved people of God, the chosen of God. He has loved them with an everlasting love. And even though they have sinned against God, He has reconciled them back to Himself. We know because Christ has come into the world. But just remember that. He became flesh. But He didn't just come to be a baby and to live this world. He came with the purpose of traveling to the cross. And when He hung upon that cross and He suffered the wrath of God, it was as if the everlasting arms were not there. Peter, when he sunk in the waves, it was God who was still holding him up so he never sunk beneath. But here on the cross, as our Lord Jesus Christ is hanging, bearing sin, not His own, but that which was laid on Him, He sinks. It brings forth the cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He, having endured this, makes it possible that we have the assurance that underneath are these everlasting arms. We need not doubt. We need not question. We must trust. We must believe His fatherly promise and care over us for the sake and only for the sake of Jesus Christ. We haven't earned the merit of these arms. We haven't earned the right to this protection and security. But He has given it freely in Jesus Christ. And when we flee to God, whoever we may be, whatever we may have done, whatever our sins may have been, we may flee to this God who is able and willing to sustain, to uphold, to keep, to protect, to guide, to lead. And when we by faith have a glimpse of this truth that underneath are the everlasting arms, we have peace. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Is there some guilt that you're still carrying, friend? Something you've done and you know you can't hardly forgive yourself? Some sin you may be even engaged in today? There's a place of refuge, a place of pardon. in these everlasting arms. Because this arm to which you would flee and to which you would rest was at one time lifted up against His Son. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. The Lord of hosts said, smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. This world is increasingly ridiculing and mocking those who rest in these arms. In this coming year, we could only expect, if God prevent not, that increasingly trusting in Christ, resting in these arms, will bring forth persecution and perhaps even suffering as it found in many other countries. But Moses sets before the children of Israel and us the illimitable extent to which these arms go. They are everlasting. They do not change. They are able to sustain each and everything you could carry and bring to these arms. Death, suffering, sickness, cancer, broken relationships, sin, all of it. These arms are able to carry. Maybe you would say to me, but you don't understand. I'm deeper than I've ever been in my life. Underneath. Can you get any further down than underneath? Underneath are the everlasting arms. And these arms are rooted in the covenant of grace that God has made from all eternity. Moses understands this truth. He rests on this truth and he brings Israel with him. Rest on these things, Israel. Because he says, last of all, this is sweetness. Verse 29, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. What comfort we have in our Father's everlasting arms. When we are assailed by difficulties financially or in sickness or accident or loss of loved ones, any affliction or trouble that can come upon us, if these arms carry us, we have no reason to fear. Does this mean that we will always be strong under the trial and never stumble, never falter, never fail? No. Many examples are given in the Word of God. Peter, even as he's walking on the waves and he sees Jesus, all's fine until he looks at the waves. And suddenly it seems as if the arm is taken away and he sinks. But he's lost sight of Jesus. And often in times of prosperity and adversity, we tend to lose sight of this everlasting arm. In times of adversity, we are prone to think, all these things are against me. How can I get through these difficulties and these times in which I am finding myself? In times of prosperity, think, look all that my hand has done and wrought. And we've lost sight of these arms. And you know, if you're honest, when you travel down this path, all these things are against me, who will be for me? Or all these things my hand has done, you will know the sweetness and the nearness and the tenderness of God toward Jeshurun is missing. We read in Hebrews that when God permits and allows and directs even affliction, He has designed our afflictions for the express purpose that afterward it's going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are exercised by it. And our problem is, my problem is I'm often not looking at this arm underneath But I'm looking at my circumstances of life and I'm trying to read in God's providence, supposedly, all that this means. And I misinterpret what God is saying. And rather than resting in His arms are under me, I'm thinking His arm may be against me. Children, have you ever did this in school? They give you a beaker of water, a pot of water, and you put a ruler in it, a stick. Maybe you've done that as you've gone fishing. And the water is clear. The swimming pool, you put the stick in, and it looks like all of a sudden it takes a bend. Now, there's an explanation for it. But I think it's a wonderful illustration. God is using a straight stick as He leads His people, His Jeshurun, and He's leading them and guiding them. But we're down here in the murky water, as it were, and we think the straight stick is actually crooked. But He sees from another perspective. He knows the stick is straight. He knows what He is doing. He's intending with all these things that He permits and brings to pass in our life, He is using them to conform us to Jesus Christ. He is using all these afflictions, all these trials, all these inward struggles, that we would rest in these arms. We would trust Him. And in trusting in Him, we would be made like unto Jesus Christ. And therefore, we need patience with our fatherly hand. Jeremiah Day, Puritan, he said, "The longer I live, the more faith I have in providence. And the less faith I have in my interpretation of providence." Our eyes, dear friend, dear congregation, need to be in this coming year, as we exit this year of our Lord and enter anew. Our confidence, our hope, our eyes need to be on these everlasting arms. Here is a place of refuge. Here is a place of safety. And even in adversity, there is nothing that can put you below these arms. And in prosperity, it is these arms that has brought you blessing. And at the end of the day, the end of this year, may we look back and be able to say the same thing. Happy art thou, O Eastmanville, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. All the blessings you've experienced only come through these everlasting arms. And there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God, because these arms, having come against His own Son, as it were, is stretched out in favor and blessing toward His people. Spurgeon said, "If there was an ant at the door of your corn bin begging for help, if you're a farmer and you had a corn bin full of grain, it wouldn't ruin you to give him a grain of your corn. You are but a tiny insect at the door of God's all-sufficiency." I say to you, let's come in this new season to this overabounding storehouse of good, underneath everlasting arms. Let us come to Him in all of our need and care. There is no God like unto Jeshurun, and the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Let's pray. O Lord our God, we come to Thee at this close of this time together in which we have heard of these everlasting arms, Thy arms, which are underneath Thy Jeshurun and Thy people, surrounding them with care and love and security and peace. Grant us, Lord, to by faith behold these arms and to live, we pray, out of an understanding of what Thou doth promise and what Thou art able and willing to give. Forgive our sin of looking so many times at our circumstances, at the things we have done or all the things that may be against us, and not looking to these arms, to Thee, who art able to do exceeding abundantly above what we could even ask or think. Bless us now in the rest of this day. Keep us from temptation and sin, and give us to sense these arms also. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.